that was there was criticism in the sort of late 80s and early 90s in the English game that there were far too many what people called journeyman cricketers who were English qualified but weren't going to play for England and were just going to stay until late 30s. And there were some views that they were actually clogging up the system. And one of the reasons why people thought that was happening was because that they earned more money playing cricket than they could outside of the game because they didn't have any qualifications and didn't have a second career. So, there's a lot of jobs these days you can't even apply for unless you have a degree. So I put something in place that allows them to finish their education, gives them 3 more years to develop, and then at the age of 21, they can then decide, yes, am I going to have a go at cricket? Am I good enough? Do I want to do it? Or now that I've got a degree, am I going to go into the workplace? So it gives them choices. And also, we found that lads are not clogging up the system. I'll give you an example of two examples. One of Alex Loudon, who played one day international cricket. And then, I don't know, he got to about 26, 27, thought, I don't think I'm going to get any further. I don't think I'm going to get back in the team. I'm actually going to pursue another career. And he used his degree to go and get a good job. Another one was David Brown, who was at Gloucestershire and then went to Glamorgan. And I'm still very much in contact with David Brown. And he just said, look, I've got to say, he said, I don't think I'm really going to make it. He said, so, and I want a career, so he said, I'm going to stop playing cricket and put my energies into something else. He said, I've had 5 or 6 good years, whatever it was, and I've enjoyed it, he said, and I've given it my best. He said, but now I've got the qualifications, I've got time on my side, I'm going to start another career. So it's brilliant from that point of view. It gives the person options. And also, like you said, if you go right through your career, say somebody like Robin Martin Jenkins, he had a good career, he finished at Sussex, he had a benefit, and then when he retired, he's got a degree to his name, which shows the level of intelligence that he's achieved and set himself up in another job.
No, absolutely, and I think also what the MCC's sort of cottoned on to as well is that obviously that's a good basis for the other universities to have their centres of excellence as well.
Yeah, well, I helped the ECB sort of go around and I went to 20-odd universities talking to them about a centre of excellence. And also I did a report on each one of the universities about what outdoor facilities they had, what indoor facilities they had, what ambition they had, what history they had, etc. And out of that, then I wasn't actually on the selection committee, but the ECB picked 5 others. And last year, I think it was between 22% and 24% of English qualified county cricketers had been to a centre of excellence from people like Smith, who's the captain of Hampshire, Jimmy Smith.
No, Jimmy Adams. Yeah. He's an old alumni of my school, Sherburn.
Right, so, yeah. and obviously, and Monty Panesar. Was at Loughborough as well. So, you know, there's been 24% speaks volumes, basically, and the MCC have funded it brilliantly. They look after us brilliantly. And we're making a significant contribution to English cricket.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And it's interesting that you also mentioned the girls as well who've gone on to play for England. And no doubt county cricket as well.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had a high volume of women cricketers, but one of the other girls. But funnily enough, they are actually in their sport better than all the lads, because last year I had Cecily Scott, who plays England A, and Elisa Hubbard, who opens the bowling for Kent. So they're. Oh, to me, the far better standard comparatively than the lads are.
yeah, not surprising in certain ways of looking at things.
Well, no, but that's just, you know, that's just the way it is. And actually, I quite like reminding the lads now and again that they think they're good cricketers. Well, those two girls over there, they're better than you are.
Yeah. No, it was very interesting coming up to Durham over the last sort of 24, 48 hours. And I was at the ground earlier on today and saw a stand there named after Don Robson. And I went up to Durham 25, 26 years ago to interview Don when he was deputy chairman of the council. And he said, Alistair, I've got this vision for Durham to be a first-class county for cricket and possibly, you know, have Test cricket played here one day. I mean, an amazing vision, and the community up in the northeast and around there getting together, and his vision was enabled by a lot of hard work, and now there's a legacy of cricket forever.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing that which people don't think of immediately is that Durham County is the last team to gain first class status. But it also became the first to have two first-class teams in it, because in 2001, we were granted, the university, when we play counties, we were granted first-class status. So Durham became the newest county and also the first county in the country to have two first-class teams, because at the time, there was Oxford and Cambridge, who were two minor counties. The universities had first-class status. But they didn't give first-class status to Loughborough, Leeds or Cardiff at the time. So Durham was the last and the first.